Appreciate the good song service this morning, and I especially appreciate Brother Kenny's prayer. There's a difference between praying to the people and for the people, and I thought this morning he clearly prayed for the people, for the congregation, and I continue to stand in need of your prayers. Since I was with you last month, I had the opportunity to go to Las Vegas the fourth Sunday in February. I was asked to come and be there. Visiting minister at the new Las Vegas church, just constituted this last summer. They've got a small congregation that meets in the YMCA. And I'll have to tell you that when you're getting ready to leave and people ask you where you're going, you tell them you're going to Las Vegas to go to church. It's not a real believable story. I get a lot of, oh yeah, really? But we did. We have a good service out there. They started with less than 10, and now they're up to about 16 people in attendance at that meeting. So it's good, and there's a good group of people there. And if you're ever going out there, they meet every Sunday. They're having a visiting minister about at least once a month being scheduled in, and more when they can get it. But they meet every Sunday at the YMCA, kind of on the west side of downtown. So I encourage you to go. That's a good group of people, and they're dedicated and devoted. And when they don't have ministers, they're downloading tapes and listening to sermons so that they're getting good doctrinal instruction, even when they don't have a minister there. And so I ask you to pray for that group. What's on my mind this morning is out of the Old Testament. I'm over in the book of Numbers, the 10th chapter. There's a few verses here I want to talk to you about. And as is usual, we know things now, and the Apostle Paul tells us this, we know things now that they didn't know when the Old Testament was written and being written. And it's only through the awakening that we have in the New Testament, especially the instruction of Apostle Paul, that tells us how the works of salvation take place and how our practice is to be. And then we can go back, and knowing that, we can go back and look at the Old Testament, and we see all the what we call types and shadows, lots of symbolic things. We see Christ in the Old Testament in many cases, but in this case, we have a practical issue taking place regarding communication in the 10th chapter of the book of Numbers, and I hope we'll be able to relate it to our service today. And that's what we do, and that's what we do many times we have these practical examples of things that are taking place in the Old Testament, and we can look at them, and then spiritually we can see that those are examples for us to be using today. Numbers chapter 10 starts off, it's the first part of this chapter that I want to talk to you about. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Now, this was they went into when the nation of Israel left Egypt. They left there, you know, and escaped Pharaoh. And first place they went after they got across there and crossed the Red Sea, they went to Mount Sinai. And Moses, we know, spent 40 days up in Mount Sinai. And from that, he wrote the half of the book of Exodus, the book of Numbers and Leviticus and part of the book of Deuteronomy, and all those laws he got during the 40 days that he was up in the mountain with the Lord. When he came back down, then over the next period of time, he wrote out everything. The Lord blessed him with memory, and he wrote down all those things to recall. And that's where you have this chronological book of rest of Deuteronomy and Numbers and Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He wrote them all down. But this thing that's taking place here in chapter 10 is the last major commandment that Moses received from the Lord while he was up at Mount Sinai. He was up in the mountain with the Lord for that extended period of time in which he had a fast. He didn't eat or drink during that time. The Lord blessed him with a divine inspired fast. But also then you get down to chapter 10, and this was where the last commandment, the last instructions the Lord gave Moses while he was in Mount Sinai. And he would give him more later on as they were out in the desert and as they started going toward the Holy Land. But this was the last commandment, the instruction that the Lord gave Moses while they were in Mount Sinai. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them, and thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. I want you to make two trumpets out of silver, out of one piece of silver, so that they're one piece. They're not to be cast. I don't think you don't take the silver and melt it down and then pour it into a trumpet. I want you to take a sheet of silver and cast it, and bend it, beat it into these trumpets. And that was instructions about, and these are to use for communications purposes, and I hope we'll look at that as a minute as a practical matter, and then we'll talk about it as a spiritual matter. When, just to, you don't have to turn back there with you, but I'm going to go back to Exodus chapter 13. When the children of Israel were leaving Egypt, running from Pharaoh, it says, it is verse 17 of Exodus 13, it says, "And when it came to pass, when Pharaoh let them go, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, but he sent them this route, and he led the people about, across the Red Sea." In verse 21, it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud." Had a pillar of a cloud above the nation of Israel, and you're probably talking somewhere between 2 and 3 million people. All the 12 tribes of Israel, plus the Levites, plus a lot of hangers-on they had with them. Somewhere between people estimated easily between 2 and 3 million people. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from them before the people. All the time they were traveling, they had this pillow, large column of smoke, cloud above them all the time in the daytime. And at nighttime, you could see it was fire in the middle of it. The fire shone up. And that's what they did all the time they were traveling. Go back over here where we were now, starting in chapter 10. But if you go into chapter 9, let's just start. So verse 16. "So it was always the cloud covered them by day and the appearance of fire by night." He did this, kept this practice up even when they built the tabernacle. That's when they knew the Lord was present with them, was because when this column of smoke in the daytime and fire at nighttime was above the center of this tabernacle, right above the what we call the most holies, the inner sanctum part of this tabernacle. Verse 18, "At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode in the tabernacle, they rested in their tents." When the cloud was there, cloud in the daytime, fire at nighttime, they pitched their camps around. Three of the tribes were on each side of the tabernacle, so they had 12 tribes, three on each of the four sides. And they followed the Lord when, in verse 23, "At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses." They followed the Lord's instructions, and they knew that when he was there, they were to camp around the tabernacle. They knew he was there because he had this column of smoke in the daytime, and it would change into a column of fire at nighttime. That's when they knew the Lord was present. And then when that column would go away, they knew, well, it's pretty much time to get up and leave and move and go to a different location. Now we get into chapter 10, and we see where he's telling, the Lord's telling Moses, "Make two trumpets of silver, make them out of one piece. Use them for calling of the assembly and for journeying of the camps." And he goes specifically, he gives them four things to use these trumpets for. It's a communication tool. He said, number one, verse 3, "And when they shall blow them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." Number one, when she blow these horns to get everybody to come in. When everybody's to gather up and gather up with you, Moses, because we're going to talk to them or some, do something, have some event at the assembly steps all together at the tabernacle. Verse 4, "And you had two of these trumpets, you blow them together." But verse 4, he says, "And if they blow but one trumpet, then the princes, which are the heads of the islands, of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. If you blow two horns, I want everybody to get together. If you blow one horn, only the heads." Be like having a deacon's meeting, you might say. Pastors and a deacon's meeting if they only blow one. So number one, the horns were to use to assemble the people. When two horns blow together, that's to bring the entire congregation, all the people together. When one horn blows, you only bring the heads of all the tribes, the princes as they call them here. Today we'd call that probably the preachers and the deacons. Verse 5, he said, "Now, when you blow an alarm," when you take a horn and you blow an alarm, and the difference would be when they were assembling, I want you to think of this, and I don't know exactly what tone they used. We get some clue here from it. When they were assembling, it would be like you would hear the trumpets blow today to assemble. It'd be the kings or queens coming in. You'd have a dun-dun, dun-dun. I'm not very good at this. But you'd have two horns in harmony, given this call to come in symbol to worship the Lord in one manner. He said, but then in this verse 4, when he says, but if they blow with one trumpet, excuse me, I've just covered that one. Verse 5, when you blow an alarm, and this is better interpreted as an alert. It's not as an alarm as we think of. We'll get to an alarm in a minute. When you blow an alarm, or which I will call in this case, better interpreted for us as an alert, then the camps that lie on the east parts shall go forward. It's time to move. We're going to move the entire camp, the entire nation, all through to 3 million people. It's not easy to move that many people in concert and keep them coordinated and organized. So he said, number one, when you blow an alarm, an alert, then that tells the people on the east side, now that's Judah and Zebulun and Issachar, I believe, that's on the east side. Those are the three tribes camped out on the east. So again, you're talking half a million people or probably. When you blow an alarm, then the people on the east. And when you blow the alarm the second time, then the camps that are on the south side shall take off. So secondly, it was when they get ready to travel, get ready to move, that's why you blow these trumpets again. Blew one trumpet, and you give them an alert, a different. You could change the rhythm of it instead of just a lone, L-O-N-E, tone of the trumpets. You would change it up so that they would know it's time to move. And he says, and you'll go around, and they shall blow it for alarm for each one of the journeys, for each side, the east side, then the south side, and then the west side, and then the north side. You go in that order. Around, start with the tribe of Judah, and you go around, and there's three on each side, and so you get all 12 tribes, and you tell them to pack up and go. The Levites would carry the tabernacle and all the goods of it. They'd fold it all up, package it all up, and carry it along, and they would be in the middle. East and south side go first, and then the tabernacle with the Levites, and then the west and the north side. Very organized. The Lord was trying to do this to help them with 2.5-3 million people. They need a lot of organization. But now he gives a verse of warning here. It said, verse 7, but when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but you shall not sound an alarm. Don't do it as an alert. Don't do it as an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, they'll blow the trumpets. Aaron had two sons that were priests, so that's why we had two trumpets. And they'll blow, and this shall be an ordinance forever throughout your generations. You're going to use these trumpets forever with the nation of Israel. Communication. Verse 9, he gives us the third use of these trumpets. And if you go to war at your land against the enemy that oppresses you, then you shall blow an alarm. Now, this would be truly an alarm. This would be like what I call a staccato, a short burst, something like this, or a wavering, something that would be a total different, that would be somewhat excited, so you would know this is, we're either going to war or we're being attacked. That was to warn all the people. Since you blow an alarm with the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and you shall be saved from your enemies. If we're fixing to go to war and we're going to attack, and if you look, each time the nation of Israel went to war, go through, and when you read the Bible, you see it says, and they blew the trumpets, and that's what they're talking about. These are the two trumpets they blew. And so we'll talk about this a little bit more practically in a minute, but that's the third use when you go to war. The fourth use is in verse 10. Also in the day of your gladness, when something good happens, when you're celebrating something, in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days, when you're celebrating sacred days, maybe the Sabbath. You know, we're on Wednesday night, we're studying the feast right now, or I have been, but I hadn't been here lately, so we've skipped a couple of weeks. But when you're studying those feast days, you know, the Day of Atonement, the Pentecost, the Passover, those type of things, he said, you'll on those solemn days, and the beginning of your months, at the beginning of every month, remember the Jews lived off the month, off the moon. So whenever we had a new moon, you know, a new moon is when you see a slight sliver of the moon, then it grows into a full moon at half the month, and then it goes away. When there's a new moon, that's how you knew the month started, and so they would blow a horn then, one of these horns then. You blow it at the beginning of your month, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices, peace offering, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Think about what all this started. This was a communication tool to blow these trumpets. You blew two when you wanted to call the assembly together. You blew one when you wanted to call the leaders of all the tribes. We call them the elders, the deacons, what we think of today, something like that. I don't know. When you had to go to war, you blew an alert type of deal. When you were defending yourself, people were attacking, or you were getting them to go to war, you sounded a different type of alert, alarm. And finally, you blew them when you had a sacred day, a day of happiness or a sacred day. I want you to think of this, because think about our United States Cavalry. Where did our cavalry come up with the idea of using a bugle to tell all the men? Remember, they had 2.5 million people here. These horns, we learned in studying this, Josephus, the great historian of the Jews, he said these horns were real long and slender, these two horns. Remember the horns we used to have, that we long plastic horns we'd take to sound like a truck horn or something? It's about like what those looked like. They were small, maybe an inch in diameter, long, a little bit bigger for the mouthpiece. And then it was real long, nothing in them, just hollow, and it opened up into a bell on the end. Said they were 2 cubits long, so a little under a yard, 34, 35 inches, something like that. So it was a good long bugle, and they had two of them, and those sounds were reached a long way. And so these were the way that they alerted the people. But the cavalry uses that today, and they used it for all their sacred days. If you go back to, I'll go back to Leviticus chapter 23, where he tells us about all the feast days. And in verse 24 chapter 23, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. One of the feast days that we're going to study about is called the blowing of trumpets, the trumpet feast day. And he gets over here, and then over a little later in Leviticus, he talks about the year of Jubilee, one of the other feast days. Every 50 years, we'd have a jubilee in which we would, everybody that was under bondage, you'd sold yourself into slavery, you were to be released. If you sold your land during this 50-year period, it was given back to you, it was returned back to you. It's called the year of jubilee. And the year of the jubilee is in chapter 25 of Leviticus, verse 9. Then thou shalt cause the trumpet of jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the seventh month, in the day of the atonement, you shall make a trumpet sound throughout your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty through all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. That quote is on the Liberty Bell, in American Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. That quote was cast in around the Liberty Bell. Proclaim liberty through all the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. He blew the trumpets to do that. And he says, on those days you blew the trumpets and to let everybody know. It was a way of celebrating also their holy days, their feast days. But we learned that, and when you see that about the Jubilee, blow on the year of Jubilee, we have a song, 476, blow ye the trumpet, blow the gladly solemn sound. And then the course of that is, the year of Jubilee has come. The year of Jubilee has come, return ye ransom sinners home. That again starts off, blow ye the trumpet, blow. These trumpets served very important functions of communications to alert the people, to tell the people what was going on. They were made of silver. I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit more in a second. They were made of silver. Why were they made of silver? Why were there two of them? I think that's very symbolic of our worship service today and a lot of things that we do today in the church. There's a lot of symbolism that was going on with those, as is with everything in the Old Testament. It's what we tried to talk about on our Wednesday night on our feast studies. All those feasts that took place have meaning in our church service today. They have meaning that Christ fulfilled all those requirements. Let's go back to the first part of this chapter. I want to cover part of this deal. These horns, back in this day, they had different kinds of horns. We know you've heard of they use ram's horns a lot. Ram horns, they made brass horns. Brass horns are very loud and very brash, very bold. The ram's horns have a low, mellow tone. It's a boom, and they would use the ram's horn a lot. Those were different functions. For calling the assembly together, the Lord says, I want them made of silver. I want them made of one piece of silver. I don't want you to pour it into one. I want you to take one piece, hammer it out, get it fine-tuned. A silver trumpet, if you've never been around them, they have a very pure tone, very clear. It's kind of like the difference between a regular glass and crystal. You know, you ding it and it sounds really good. These horns blow through a silver horn like this. It was just silver, hollowed all the way. You know, you controlled it with your lips in large part, but it had a very clear tone. And these long horns, like the word opened up, you could hear them for miles. That's why they were so good at alerting these 2 or 3 million people that were camped out probably in a mile square area around the tabernacle. But he said, make them out of silver, because he wanted the purity that comes with that, pure quality that comes with it. It means something for them to be silver. It means something that there were two of them. want there to be two for the calling of the assembly. They use one for other purposes, but the only time they use two was when we call all the congregation together, all the nation of Israel. We identify with this today in the church. The identity of this is that these two trumpets represent the ministry and the preaching of the gospel. Two trumpets of silver where you preach with purity and you preach in a tone that everyone can hear if you have both trumpets going together. Go over here to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 58. We have some comparisons that I want to tell you. These trumpets are compared to the preaching of the gospel. Isaiah tells us at 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Isaiah is telling the people to preach to the people, preach them about the problems of the way they're living and how they need to change. Over here in the book of Joel, one of the prophets, one of the minor prophets, Joel chapter 2. Joel was the one that Apostle Peter quoted when he preached at Pentecost over in Acts 2. Acts 2 and 9, I believe he quoted Apostle Joel and talked to him about it's out of chapter 2 of Joel. But Joel at chapter 2 verse 1 says, blow ye the trumpet of Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. He's really talking about preaching when he's talking about blowing the trumpet. He's talking about going in and preaching the gospel. Let's go over here to the new chapter, though, New Testament. Apostle Paul also echoes that the blowing of these trumpets is like preaching the gospel. Over in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul is given instructions to the ministry about how to preach. He's telling them, be careful, you don't want to preach in tongues. If you preach in tongues, you may be able to be good, and that's good, but nobody's going to be able to understand you. So if you're going to preach in tongues, you need somebody to interpret it for you. And he goes through and gives them. He said, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. When you're preaching, you're supposed to edify the congregation and the church and not yourself. Verse 2, he says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. You might as well be preaching to the air. Verse 8, though, is where Apostle Paul, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 8. For if the trumpet, he's talking about the preacher, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? Think back what we just talked about. You give a certain blow for battle different from your call. He said, but the preacher that speaks with an uncertain trumpet, how do we know what to do when we have an uncertain trouble? Verse 9, so likewise, ye, except you utter by the tongue, words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. Preachers, you got to speak where people understand you. And that's what we struggle with all the time. Brother Kenny and I talk all the time about different ways to go about preaching to keep it understandable. And we compare the different styles of a lot of ministers we know, not to be criticizing, but to also try to help each other learn how to communicate with everybody. Apostle Paul says, make sure you speak it where it's easy to understand and you communicate what you're saying. Otherwise, you have the sound of an uncertain trumpet. He wants that trumpet to be clear. Why did they make the trumpets out of silver? They wanted it pure quality. When you're preaching the gospel, it ought to be different than any other speech you have. There shouldn't be anything like it when you're preaching the gospel, because you need to be clear and you need to be easy to understood and you need to communicate your message. You don't need to speak in an unknown tongue. You don't need to speak in an unknown gospel. You need to speak the gospel of Christ. If I get up here this morning and start preaching to you and say, Christ wants you to come and join the church, and if you'll just accept him, he'll give you eternal salvation. If you'll do this, do that. If you'll get yourself baptized, if you accept, believe, confess, repent. If you'll do some good work, you can get your way to heaven. You'd go, that doesn't sound right to me. It's not coming through a silver trumpet. Why two trumpets? Number one, if I get up here and any of us, any minister gets up here and starts preaching, and I know the gospel, and I know I have studied, and this has happened to me. I have studied it, and I know my subject really well, and I've got it down. But I get out here, and I'm going, for some reason, the words are not coming, and it's just not being communicated, you know. And I can see I'm losing my audience. I'm losing my crowd. That's only one trumpet speaking. I'm speaking perhaps the truth, and I know it, but I'm not communicating it well. The reason there were two trumpets is it takes both trumpets to speak to the assembly, to make that certain sound that is receptive. It takes a minister who has studied and knows the truth, otherwise he's not speaking clearly with his trumpet. It also takes the Holy Spirit to come and make that harmony between the two. If you've got a man that is speaking the truth, understands the gospel and speaking the truth, and you've got the Holy Spirit helping him deliver that and creating a receptive ear for people to hear, then you've got two trumpets in harmony. I can get ahead and say everything I want to in the truth, but if the Spirit's not with me, it's not being communicated. We don't have both silver trumpets speaking. I may get up here and I may be able to dance around and jump around and you think I'm full of spirit, but what I'm telling you is just a bunch of babble. You're going, it's not making sense to me. I'm not hearing true. You know, we have so many times that we've seen this, and all of you have seen these examples, and I may be one of them, where we end up ordaining someone who may know the truth and may study the Bible and may be good at it, but he just can't communicate it. The Lord is not there when he gets ready to speak and blesses him. Then we don't have that sound clear from both trumpets. Indeed, we have two trumpets because it takes the man who has studied the Word of God, studied it to show himself approved of the Word, a workman who rightly divideth the Word of truth, a man who can speak it, but even then he can't deliver the message without that second trumpet. Other than that, it just doesn't sound right. I can talk to you, but you can walk away and say, you know, I just didn't really get anything out of it. I can know the truth and it doesn't do any good. Or maybe I can look like I'm in the spirit and dance around, but if I don't give you the truth, it doesn't jive with you. But when you get up here and you can preach the truth and the Lord is with you and blesses you, then you have both trumpets in harmony, giving that high, clear pitch tone that you can hear. But it takes more than just me being able to preach and you being able to hear. Go with me so you don't have that uncertain sound. Go over here to Revelation chapter 3. I'll tell you, you don't have to go there. Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. At the end, we have these talking about the seven churches. At the very end, verse 22, the Lord speaking, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." There's some people who don't have that ear. The Lord hasn't blessed them. Not only do you have to, the Lord bless the Spirit, bless the preacher to preach, he also blesses the congregation to hear. There's some people who don't hear it. They don't have the ability to hear it. Apostle Paul is the greatest example of that. He went around preaching, went around when he was had open arrest warrants from the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees. He went around and he heard people preach. Did he hear preaching? He heard good preaching. That was his job, to go hear preaching. When he heard preaching of Christ, he arrested everybody and threw them in jail. He heard what they were saying, but it didn't resonate with him. It didn't pierce his heart. What do we have to have two trumpets? Number one, you have the speaker who is grounded in the truth and gives you the truth. And you have the Spirit coming and blessing the speaker to deliver it in the Spirit and blessing the congregation to hear it. When you do that, when you have the Spirit and the individual working, there's the two trumpets speaking. And that's what we have here. And that's why he has two, and that's why it's silver. And that's what those are symbolic of. We have the two trumpets preaching the word, giving them. And as Apostle Paul tells us over in 1 Corinthians, that then when that's taken place, then the preacher is preaching the truth. He studied, and you can tell that. He shows that by his study. But he's preaching in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. We call it power and in demonstration of the Spirit. And when that's taken place, then all the assembly hears. When the Spirit has blessed not only the preacher and blessed the congregation too, then you have these two beautiful silver trumpets delivering the message, making it clear. You don't get an uncertain sound. Now, sometimes, every now and then, we'll have a minister get up here, and I'm going to sound an alarm. I'm sounding an alarm. I'm going to do something that's going to try to scare you. And we learn here over here in verse 7, Numbers 10, verse 7, "But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall not blow, and ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm." We're not to alarm you in a due sense when you come to assemble together to preach. There's times to do that. But you come to hear that pure sound of the trumpet. You come to hear the gospel of peace. You come here to edify the congregation. You come here so that you can leave feeling better. You come here to worship the Lord. When you come here with that frame of mind, the Lord blesses you more than you feel like we were supposed to bless him. When you come here in the right frame of mind and you pray for yourself and pray for the minister who's up here preaching that the Spirit will be with us, then you have both trumpets blowing in that perfect harmony pitch and everybody hears and everybody gets the benefit of it. It's a wonderful thing when you hear both those silver trumpets blow. You get a great blessing from it and a great benefit that only the Lord can give to us. Over here in Psalm 122, King David tells us, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When we hear those trumpets blow calling us, we're supposed to come. We're supposed to come with the assembly. We're all supposed to come together and hear these two trumpets blow, because it's got a great message for us. Number one, we have the duty to come. When the doors of the church are open and we're having worship service, we need to be here. I hadn't always been here. I'll be the first one to admit that, and I've lost a tremendous blessing because of it. When we learn, though, when those trumpets blow, we're to be here and hear them, because there's going to be a great blessing from it. And that's what is symbolic in this two silver trumpets that blow. Number one, you have a man who not only has studied to preach, he's also called to preach. And the Lord blesses him with that. It takes the man clearly to deliver the message, because the Lord always uses men to deliver. That uses our voice. But as I've said many times, the Lord can deliver a message that don't even think I'm realizing. I've had people come up and tell me they got something out of my message, and I went, I didn't even preach about that. I didn't think I did. There's been times when I got up here and I said, I knew my subject really well, and I've got this down. I know it as best as I've ever had. I've studied it. I know it real well. And I can tell I'm not getting this across to the congregation. They're not understanding what I want to tell them. Or I want to say it so badly, it's not coming out like I went over it in my head, in my car, or driving here, or at home. It's because that second trumpet is not there. And you're hearing an uncertain sound. The congregation hears an uncertain sound. It can come, even when the minister is preaching the truth, you can still have that uncertain sound. If the Spirit's not there, you're going to have it. Or if the minister is preaching untruth, even if he seems like he's full of the Spirit, but he's not delivering the truth, you walk away not being edified. You walk away, that just didn't sound right. There's something about that that didn't resonate. I didn't get anything out of that. Then you don't have both of those trumpets blowing. Over here in Numbers, it says not only that, when I want to travel and move together, we're going to move in concert in an ordered fashion. That's when we sometimes sound and the trumpets blow so that you assemble and go forward in an orderly fashion. And that's also the work of the ministry, is to make sure that deliver the message in such a manner that the congregation gets a good, clear message and they move forward in consort in one accord. Worst thing is I can do is I can get up here and sound an alarm when you're here to be edified and I'm scaring you somehow. That's not moving you in the right direction. The trumpets were there so that the nation of Israel could come together and be edified and communicated with. They could also be communicated with about what they're to do, which direction they're to go. They're to go to war when they hear the trumpet sounds. They're not to go to war before they hear the trumpet sounds, but they're to go to war when they hear the trumpet sounds. And they go in the order in which they're supposed to. If you'll notice the order of which they went, the east first and then the south, they went according to those who were most experienced first, most experienced and more grounded. Judah was the biggest tribe. We know that's the tribe that Christ came out of, David came out of. We know that, and that's one of the work of the ministries, is to make sure you keep the congregation in an orderly procession going forward. It's your duty to make sure the ministers do that, because you don't want to hear that uncertain sound. If you hear the uncertain sound, that's where the church should address it. When these trumpets are blowing, though, we get all sorts of good symbolic messages here. Not only do you know when there's when the sound is certain, coming that pure gospel is coming from the gospel of peace, and you leave being edified. You also are comforted to the fact that when you come, you know to come and show up and be here and hear that message preached, and you come and you do it in one accord, and you leave with a message of peace and no false alarms, as we're warned by Scripture. You know, when you talk about the trumpets blow, I want to close with this. Over here in Matthew, we're all going to hear the trumpet blow. The trumpet is referred to here. Trumpets throughout our history, the trumpets of the cavalry. Think about all the examples we have of communication that we have today that began right here in the 10th chapter of Numbers with the Lord's instruction to Moses. When the cavalry wants you to charge, they play, you know, the charge, dun 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 dun, you know, to signal all the troops to charge. When they want to retreat, they got a different sound over the bugle they give it, so everybody knows it's time to retreat. You know, when they want, at the end of the day, when they want to get you to go to bed and sleep, they play taps, and we play that many times at funeral for mourning. You have different things to call. So we copy all these things out of the 10th chapter of Moses, 10th chapter of Moses, 10th chapter of Numbers. We do those today, and the cavalry has copied that. We have done that all the way down through with our communication on using this type of method to communicate the same way as was laid out for us in the Old Testament. It's the same way with the ministry. We take these lessons about speaking to the people in a certain way with the truth, praying that the Spirit will be here with us. Matthew, Jesus talks to us when he's talking about the end of time. In Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking here, verse 31. At the end of time, when the Son of Man comes back, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. That's when we hear the trumpet, and you will all hear it. All the elect will hear the trumpet that day when he comes back and sends his angels the trump. You know, we have two archangels in the Bible, Michael and Gabriel. Michael is the one that was always the one of war. He was the one when something had to be done, when he had to throw Satan, Lucifer, out of heaven. Michael was the one that did that, went to war with Lucifer. The other archangel was the one of messengers, Gabriel. He was the one that always delivered the message. In the first chapter of Matthew and Luke, Gabriel was the one that delivered the message to Mary and to Elizabeth that they were going to bear children. There was ones that always delivered the message somewhere. You know, we, down at the University of Texas with my sons, their song is, you know, the eyes of Texas are upon you, till Gabriel blows his horn. This doesn't say Gabriel will be blowing his horn at the end, but he's always been the one that blows his horn, and we get that out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when we're talking about the resurrection. If I can find my spot here. Yeah, verse 52. When we go back to 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Last scripture here. 1 Thessalonians 4, again. The resurrection chapter, when he's telling us about the coming of the Lord coming back, he'll raise the dead. It says, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then which we were alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort ye one another with these words. When the trumpet sounds, we all gather. We all do that. We're going to do that eternally. We won't be any question about it. When he calls and the trumpet sounds, we'll all be gathered. All the elect will be together coming. We ought to be together every time the trumpet sounds while we're here on earth. There's a great blessing in coming and hearing these two silver trumpets. When the minister has been blessed by the Lord with the Spirit, you hear the pure quality of those two silver trumpets, and that's why they were silver. So you had that purity of the message along with the ability to reach out. When it's delivered with the Spirit, you have both trumpets working in harmony. You've blessed me with your attention, and my prayer is the Lord richly bless each one of you.